It's usually looking blank. If you have questions.
Five, four, three.
Garrett?
Yeah, we're almost right.
Yeah.
Gonna call the meeting to order. Everybody please rise for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Want to call the roll?
Yes, sir. Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Albright?
Here.
Mr. Batsell?
Here.
Mr. Gibbony?
Here.
Mr. Greiner?
Here.
Mr. Kesselring?
Here.
Mr. McLeod?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
Very good. I'm going to read the notes. Sorry, I didn't mean to surprise you with that.
Cases heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that the City Council meetings will begin at 4 o'clock p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chambers, second floor, located at 151 Southeast Osceola Avenue.
Thank you. Did everybody have a chance to look over the minutes from the last meeting? We have a motion for approval.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
And a second. Call the roll.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. Batsell?
Aye.
Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. All right, getting right into it. Land use and rezoning, LUC 10-0028 and ZON 10-0032. Patty, is that you?
Good evening. Patty Hitchcock for the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. Our first case is a petition for land use plan amendment from professional services to retail services and a rezoning from O1 office to B2 community business. Property was developed in 1974. With an 8,000 square foot commercial building. At that time, the property was zoned B1, neighborhood business. The land use designation of professional services was applied to the property in 1993 with the adoption of the comprehensive plan, and the property was rezoned to O1 office to be consistent with that land use designation. The small center contains a convenience store with gas pumps. This is looking north into the site from Maricamp Road. To the east is a bank building. To the west is a small office building. The west is zoned B2. This is looking, I'm standing on 17th Street, looking south into the property, and there's just an expanse area, expanse of asphalt on the property. It's not striped for parking spaces. Those don't appear to be customers of this center. I don't think they have that many employees at the center. The veterinarian's office that used to be there is gone, relocated. So I suspect that may be parking for the adjoining, that's being used by the adjoining property. And here's a shot of the northern end of the center where the dry cleaner is located. Across 17th Street are offices, and I will submit my written recommendation as an exhibit for the record, and we recommend approval of the land use change and the rezoning of the property. We have to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Any questions for staff? I think we're good. Thank you. Ed, is the petitioner here? Just state your name and address for the record, please.
Okay, for the record, my name is Nikki Schwartz. My address is 8240 Hobo Lane, Claremont, Florida, 34714, and I'm representing KCI.
Okay. Would you like to add anything to what was presented from staff?
No, I think she accurately covered all the information in her staff report, and it's just we're trying to stay consistent with what's currently out there in the zoning.
Okay. All right. Any questions for the petitioner?
Right.
We're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We will open it up for public discussion. If anybody would like to say anything for or against, please step forward. Nope. All right. We'll close that off. Bring it back to the board for discussion or motions.
I'll move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on that? Okay. We're good. Call the roll.
Mr. Kesslerling?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. Bassel?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. Okay. Moving along to the PUD amendments. PUD 10-0002. Patty, you again.
Patty Hitchcock again for the Growth Management Department. This is a request to amend the conceptual PUD plan for the West Ocala PUD. Before I start, just to try to address any confusion that may exist, when the application was first submitted to the department, it was a request also for rezoning PUD 7 from PUD 6. The map that was prepared in those first few weeks of the application referenced that rezoning to PUD 7. However, in reviewing the proposed amendments, which include an addition of assisted living facility units, which do not count at full density, there was no need for a rezoning. So the applicant submitted a letter withdrawing the request to rezone to PUD 7. Unfortunately, I did not catch that on the map that went out. The ad that was placed in the Star banner and the official notice referenced it was just an amendment to the conceptual PUD plan, but there was a small note on the location map that addressed the rezoning. So in case any of the residents that I believe are here this evening, there is no rezoning to PUD 7. It is only an amendment to the conceptual PUD plan. The property is located on the west side of 44th Avenue, which is under construction, and lies between 20th Street and 40th Street. It is a mix of land use designations from low density residential, medium density residential, and professional services. That is the area outlined in blue on the map. This indicates it's adjacent to the city in some areas. It's also adjacent to unincorporated Marion County. But the PUD 6 zoning was found to be consistent and compatible when the plan was first adopted in 2007. The 2007 plan proposed 1,000 residential units, a mix of single family and multifamily, and 130,000 square feet of professional offices and neighborhood business. The new plan proposes 907 single-family, multifamily units and 325 assisted living facility units with no change to the professional office and neighborhood business. The amendments are simply to provide for 325 assisted living facility units, reduce the single-family, multifamily unit count to 907, adjust the phasing schedule, update the alignment of Southwest 44th Avenue, relocate the proposed east-west roadway, remove references to access to adjoining neighborhoods, and propose a secondary access point to Southwest 44th Avenue. The applicants will need to return to this board with a preliminary and final PUD plan approval, and some phases may need platting and site plan approval. So this is the conceptual PUD plan, minor amendments to the plan approved in 2007, and staff recommends approval.
Okay.
Happy to answer any of your questions. And again, my staff report is submitted for the record.
Good. Any questions for staff? The alignment on 44th Avenue?
Yes.
That, did that change, or just kind of?
I think it reflected the adopted alignment.
Yep.
There is a slight relocation of the east-west roadway. Before, it was splitting property with the property owner to the north. Now it is wholly located within this subject property.
Okay.
We did receive one phone call opposed. Mr. Phil Fisher from 4680 Southwest 22nd Place of Ocala. So I will submit that to the Secretary for inclusion.
Okay. Any questions for staff?
The only question I've got, looks like we've reduced the number of residential sites by 97. Is that the proper ratio for the 325?
Originally, they had 1,000 units. If you use the density calculation for the assisted living facility, which is 50%, it comes to 1,070 units. So it is an increase of 70 units. However, in looking at the peak hour traffic, there's a 14-trip difference between the 1,000 units and the 325 assisted living plus 907 residential.
Okay.
Anybody? Anybody else? Good. Okay. Thanks. Is the petitioner here?
Good evening. Steve Gray, 125 Northeast 1st Avenue, Suite 1, Ocala. I represent the applicant, and I can answer any questions. I think the staff report pretty clearly outlines the changes that we are trying to make here.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Gray?
Got one question. On the east-west road, has that already been completed all the way out to 60?
No,
okay.
No, it hasn't.
It dead ends right now.
It doesn't exist other than on paper right now. The east-west road has been moved so that we can control the timing of that, because part of this PUD amendment is to begin to get teed up, particularly for an assisted living facility on phase 1A. And by bringing the road all the way into the project and not straddling the line of the adjoining property owner to the north, we're not going to have to deal with that.
How is that going to affect the construction of the main road of 44th Avenue?
Really won't affect it at all.
No, I know as far as moving that road, but I'm talking about, you know, with the ALF, you know, getting teed up and everything.
Well, before the ALF can really get moving, they have to complete 44th Avenue, which is, you've been out there, is it about differing percentages, but
right.
Let's say 90 or 95% complete. They have to complete.
Really? That much?
Yeah. They have to complete 44th Avenue, and the road has to be accepted by the city, which is an open item. You know, this is what I would call a project under resurrection.
Yes. All right. Any other questions? Good. Okay. Thanks. All right, open up for public discussion. If anybody in the public has anything to say for or against, step forward. Just state your name for the name and address for the record. We probably already have it on record.
You do.
Barry York, 5115 Southwest 31st Street. The first question I got, has the city ever cleared up the money, or the county cleared up any of the money things that came with 44th Avenue that is sitting less than 95% complete? Because I've driven it several times.
Yeah,
can't answer that one.
This is the wrong board to be answering that question.
Okay.
But, I mean.
Well, we're talking about the same land. the same business, the same scoring on it. Based on the court records for the owner of this company or the CEO of this company, it'd be a little bit dicey, in my opinion, to be dealing with them for doing any of these projects. Because if you look at court records for last month, one or more of these people have come up in lawsuits for various different reasons. One of the board members is closely related to the losses of a lot of that in one of the facilities. But it's just, you know, I live behind the land. So it's been going on for several years for changing, modifying, building. And I see lack of building facilities right now for the ones that are sitting idle and empty and we want to build more. I think we need to be bringing businesses in, but we need to do it in a different way than what we're doing it. That's just my opinion on all this stuff. We've sunk a lot of money in on a road that I'm not a professional, but that road is not 95% complete. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
My name is Thomas Kelly, and I live at 5313 Southwest 31st Street, Ocala. I'm just wondering, what are they going to really put in back of us? There's so many plans we've heard of in the number of years that do they know exactly what they're going to put in our backyards? And when is there a possible date that they would start so we would know a little bit more about this?
As far as I know, I don't think the section behind, you're down there in Timberwood?
Yes.
I don't think that's necessarily changed from what it was supposed to be before.
Yeah, we're supposed to be on that change, I guess, between 54th Court and 51st Terrace.
Yeah, I think I'm basically supposed to still be single family residential units.
Single family homes?
Yes. And they have a timetable of 2017 as a build-out date on that, so that's
way out.
Other than that, that's all we can go on.
Maximum life of two stories.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, if I could add that there's also a 25-foot buffer on the back of those lots that front 31st Street, and development note number 16 is the same as what it was in the original CUD approval, and it states that lot sizes shall be compatible when adjacent to existing single-family development.
Right, I think they're going to make them the same as the lots that were in Timberwood, or as close to it as possible, I think is what the plan was, if I remember correctly.
Thank you.
Smith, 4980 Southwest 36th Lane. I think what happened in this whole thing is the way it was advertised in the newspaper by the city that it stirred up a lot of controversy in Timberwood.
Switching to a PUD-7?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what really happened. I mean, you understand, Augie and Mr. Lee, you understand also because we went through this 3 years ago and it really fired up a thing that the. And so I think with a little. Explain it, it could be resolved real easy. I mean, you're not going to impact Timberwood at all with what you're doing here.
So. Yeah, from what I remember, what you guys, I mean, I know you complained a lot about the access point into your neighborhood, which I think
right.
I think being taken care of. So.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and as far as the way it buffered up against and all, it was all worked out. And
right.
Everybody worked it out. Mr. Gray, everybody, but I'm just saying the way it was advertised in the newspaper, I think this just brought everything to a head and, it upset the local community because the road wasn't completed and this and that and just the way it just affects the people that were in the area, that
right.
have been in the area and going to be in the area. So,
right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to add anything? Okay. We'll close that off and bring it back to the board for discussion.
Can I just ask Steve?
Steve, can I ask you just one question?
Mr. Gray?
My assumption is that they're going to sell off the original developers of the overall PUD. They're going to sell off a portion of it, I guess, a phase to another developer or another owner.
They're going to sell it to a company that develops ALF.
Okay, and so then it will be the ALF's responsibility to construct at least whatever portion of that, the east-west road or whatever.
It's ultimately a combined responsibility, but the east-west road would have to be constructed at least beyond the entrance to the ALF, which is parcel 1A, and the northwest road, which is 44th Avenue, has to be completed and accepted by the county. I would note that the city did the design work on the road, but the developer paid for the construction cost to date on 44th Avenue.
But still, 44th has to get completed before anything can be done.
It has to be completed because it has to be accepted as a public right-of-way to actually have legal access to the park.
Right, exactly, yeah. Anybody else? Any motions or anything?
Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and move approval.
Have a motion?
As recommended.
Okay, we've got a motion for approval?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion on that? Everybody good?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Griner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. All right, now we got to the code amendment. COD 10-0009. Man, we didn't get to see the... Did you guys want to show the presentation?
Come next month.
There we go.
All right. Sorry, got off track there. COD 10-0009.
A couple of months ago, several months ago, I'm not sure exactly which month, you had the irrigation amendment, the amended irrigation ordinance come before you, made a recommendation of denial. There was a feeling at that time that there was some misunderstanding of exactly what the ordinance was aiming to do. The Water Management District has use regulations in place, use guidelines in place, use regulations in place. They don't really have any kind of an enforcement arm, but they also make sure that we comply with the conditions of our consumptive use permit, and one of the areas that we have to comply in is conservation. We added section 118, 138, and as you look at this ordinance, I don't think it's strike out or underlined, so you're at a bit of a disadvantage right now, I think, yeah. Unless you, sections 132 and 133 are the same as they're presented to you as they are in the code that exists, with the exception of the section that refers to 138 at the very end of each of those. Section 118-132 is landscaping requirements outside of the CRA. It generally pertains to all site plans. It says you have to irrigate a newly developed site, or you can use drought-tolerant material and have an alternate plan approved. But at the end it says landscape plan shall be submitted with every site plan showing an irrigation system or alternative use of native drought-tolerant vegetation. Period. All landscape irrigation shall comply with section 118-138. Same thing in 133. 118-133 applies to the area within the community redevelopment area, or CRA. And again, it refers to making it consistent. A lot of these are time
it does refer in this section to residential landscape irrigation and when they can be watered. Those rules exist at the water management district level now. But we don't enforce, the city doesn't enforce the rules because we don't have a code section that says that we'll do these things. So I suppose that enforcement could or would fall to us of this ordinance. Part of the reason that we have it in there, it's important that we comply with our CUP, and as I said, conservation is a part of that. Water Management District could find us out of compliance with our consumptive use permit, and they could restrict our ability to withdraw water. They could further limit us in the amount of water that we could take from the aquifer. That was the purpose. I don't know that that was relayed to you. That changes what your recommendation would be, but that's part of it, why it's being moved forward.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Two questions. One, all the timing that you've got listed under Section B there, that's Water Management District.
Yes, sir.
Set up, right, all the time. And the fines that you have listed, the penalties, under item number F, that mirrors what's in the county's code now, isn't it?
Yes.
Warning, $50, $500.
And I'm not sure where those were derived from, to be honest with you. I don't know if they were suggested by the Water Management District. It's my understanding that the Water Management District doesn't have an enforcement arm. They don't.
But that lines up with what the county has passed in there.
Hey, can I ask one other technical question?
Yes, you may.
And this is actually in one of the sections that hadn't been changed. I guess it's 132,
mm-hmm.
Number two, when you're talking about 100% coverage of all landscaped areas, I didn't see a definition of landscaped areas. Does that include sod and all?
It does. It typically does.
Okay. The only question I've got about that is now on a lot of them and everything, they're going with sod that doesn't need permanent irrigation, and they're only putting irrigation on new plant material. So I'm wondering whether we need to change the definition of landscaped areas, because if we're trying to conserve, to put the right type of grass in, there's really no reason why you need to have a permanent irrigation system for the sod area.
And I agree, and I think that the way that if I was reviewing the site plan, the way that I would do that is say, well, this is and you would provide the information, hey, this is a drought tolerant sod. And I would use that section further down that says that if you use drought-tolerant species, you don't have to irrigate.
Well, and actually, from my standpoint, we're using micro-irrigation almost all the time anyhow, which would exempt you from all of this stuff anyhow. But if you have that in there, I just wouldn't want somebody else coming in from the outside and all of a sudden irrigating maybe potentially more than what they would have to if we have some latitude.
We probably should adopt alongside this is some guidelines for xeriscapic material and drought tolerant material.
And what
the water requirements were. But
I don't know that I would necessarily recommend changing the language there because I don't know what I would change it to But as long as there's that understanding of where we're going and what the options are with staff to be able to address it, I think that resolves it.
It sounds like there could be. It could be classified under the drought tolerant materials.
Yeah, I think so. As long as that's acceptable to staff and somehow that's all been worked out.
Right. I think the bigger thing from the previous meeting was is that, like you brought up about the kind of the way it read before was is you were making everybody put in an irrigation system.
Yeah, and that's not the case. We're not making individual residences put in irrigation systems.
Right. But I mean, that is kind of how it read last time, it seemed like so.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think the other issue was.
It don't seem like it reads that way.
You think so?
It's a site, it's 1 acre or larger, shall have a properly installed irrigation system.
Well, it says for non-residential projects.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of always the way it's been for non-residential projects.
Yes.
staff's requested landscape and irrigation.
Right.
About residential.
Well, so effectively, this is all for enforcement.
Effectively, it really is all for enforcement. Which was the other problem last time, that you did have an issue with the enforcement potential and the kind of quote-unquote water police side of this.
Yeah, I still have an issue with that. Yeah.
Well, who would be the water police if they don't have
the only way that would, the way that we would set it up is it would have to be it would be code enforcement, and it would be complaint generated, or, you know, or it would be I can't imagine that we would send people out to, you know, just proactively make sure that everyone was running, wasn't running their irrigation when they weren't supposed to. It would be complaints. Complaint generated now, I think, or observation if someone from the water management district happened to go through an area, but typically it's, I saw my neighbor watering on the day that he wasn't supposed to water.
I love it.
Get off of my lawn.
We'll put you in charge of the water police, so you can go out and stake out some of these places at 3 in the morning after irrigating 100% of their area.
Thank you.
We're all watching each other very closely.
In my downtime, I know where I'll park my truck.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As much as we probably don't like all that, I mean, the problem is really the water management district. And if I remember right, the last time the city went for their consumptive use permit, what, about a year ago or within the last year? I mean, water management districts really gave the city a very, very difficult time about, you know, about giving them the consumptive use permit.
That's right.
And, I mean, the downside, because our the city's permit runs through, what, like 2018 or something like that?
2017.
Yeah. I mean, and the problem is, if you don't have this on the books somehow, right, they could deny the consumptive use, which all of a sudden could potentially really shut down any kind of development or industrial, you know, development stuff that we need to expand. So as much as I think we all hate it, it's just something that we're going to have on the books as far as conservation, and then hopefully the education point will keep it from, you know, not having anybody being pumping.
And we will continue to, you know, as you heard earlier, water conservation is one of the big issues. It's going to be one of the big issues. We have worried over our consumptive use permit and whether it gives us enough water as we grow comparatively, because obviously we feel that growth should be centered in the city, and that some of the methodology doesn't necessarily make sense to us when it comes to how the consumptive use permit is, our ability to draw water is calculated. So you'll continue to hear about it, and conservation and education are far more important to us than enforcement. I can tell you that.
Mike, do you know what the per capita use for water consumption is in the city?
What the requirement is?
No. What
it actually is.
What are we using?
Right now for residential, it's around 91.
Oh, really?
Very low.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, part of that has to do, like, for example, in this year, we had a lot more rain this year. We've been averaging about 107. And
that's really good.
You know, but basically, part of that is related to, you know, the tier grade structure that they put in place,
right,
in 2005. But part of it is related on things that we really can't control, such as the economy, the deal with trucks, everyone running water,
well,
and also this tier grade.
Yeah, I was just going to use the example, because having gone through this out in the county, I mean, the city, that's really pretty good if you're around 100 or something, because I think that the countywide, their per capita use is like 165 or 180 countywide. And if you get into some of these gated communities, what was the big problem with the county is some of the gated retirement communities, their per capita use was up over 300. You know, really a significant problem in the county. And that's why I think that the county went to this, 2 years ago or something like that. So thank goodness we're not nearly that bad. But
currently
that's where the issue is.
Yeah, currently we're much below our cost. for our allocation. But as Pete mentioned, we still have trouble dealing, especially when we have future land use amendments. And the water management district is always going to look at the maximum potential development, even though, you know, when we actually did the methodology, we didn't base it on the maximum. So, you know, there's some problems in terms of being able to get future land use amendments approved, especially when we had a freeway. But I did want to correct myself. The CUP actually runs through 2027. That's where, you know, as I mentioned before in the presentation, that if it's 2027, we can no longer pour any more water out of the aquifer.
We're still capped at that number.
Yeah.
Not
so
we can.
No new water can come out yet.
Right. Unless we just go deeper.
Theoretically.
A lot deeper.
And also, you know, one of the, we didn't really get into it much during the presentation, but one of the alternative water sources was to dig deeper to the lower floor of an aquifer. You know, St. John's Water Management District is working with us. I don't know if they're 100% okay with it. They were supposed to drill the well this month. Unfortunately, Water Sewer has had some issues. They've run into some snags, so they probably won't have the well drilled until March at this point. So we really won't have an answer to whether that or not that would be a viable alternative water source until, you know, until probably after we send the year up.
And part of water quality is a big issue there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, water quality as well as also determining if there's a confinement layer between the upper and lower aquifer. In other words, are there really two separate aquifers or is it really just one big aquifer? Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? No more questions?
Sorry.
You've made a recommendation on this. I don't know that it requires you to do anything. It'll go forward to council with a recommendation of denial. If you don't do anything, it's my understanding.
Do what?
You've made a recommendation on this. From the previous time. If you do nothing, that recommendation of denial will go forward to council with.
Okay.
With this.
But we can.
You can
redo our recommendation now.
You
if
can.
If we want to change it and.
If you want to change it.
Okay. All right. So what would we like to do here?
Well, I mean, my feeling on the whole thing is really, it isn't, I don't like the fact that it's kind of jammed down our throats the same way that it's jammed down every city and every county in the state, you know, to abide by whatever the water management district, whoever governs those areas, what they say. I mean, I talked to a guy last week from St. John's Water Management District. I mean, and the simple fact that, you know, we have no sovereignty over what our aquifer, you know, below our soils. I mean, that bothers me, and it bothers me that they can come in here and potentially pump water out of the Ocklawaha to send south to Orange County, and that's just something that, because they control the consumptive use permit, that we have to bend over and just abide by whatever they suggest. I mean, that's my main problem with the whole thing. And, I mean, despite the fact that you have a neighbor telling on another neighbor about when their sprinklers are on, or the fact that the cork in my sensor dry rotted and now my sprinklers are going off when they're not supposed to go off. And I mean, it's just little things like that that I don't particularly like about this whole thing.
I agree. I mean, yeah, we got no control over what St. John or any of the water management districts say, but unfortunately they kind of have us over a barrel.
I agree. I agree 100%, but I think we're going to have a lot more credibility. I mean, there's a time coming very soon when we're going to have to stand up to those withdrawals. I mean, the statute, you know, they don't define alternative water supplies and tell you whether withdrawals from surface waters are or aren't considered alternative water supplies. So people in Orlando that you're talking about are going to argue, you know, they've got a river there, why can't we just put the straw in it and bring it and pipe it down or what? And our argument is going to be bolstered, and we're going to be more credible if we are good about conservation now. So we can say, you know, look, our average gallon, our per capita GPD is way below yours, so don't come here looking for water if until you get your conservation efforts on par with ours. So I mean, I don't like anything shoved down our throats either, but it is a state issue, and to have more credibility around here come that time, we need to conserve as much as we can so we can tell other folks to do the same instead of coming here looking for our water.
Well, we already are. I mean, everybody is already being told to do this. I mean, you get advertisements on TV. I mean, people are told these are the days you're supposed to water, these are the days you're not supposed to water. I think most people abide by those rules. This is just a matter of putting it in and finding people. And I just don't particularly like this.
Unless we put any kind of an enforcement mechanism forth, though, I mean, you know, we're doing what we're, unfortunately, I disagree with the mandate, but we're doing what we're mandated to do, but I don't think enforcement of this is going to be a widespread problem.
Maybe.
Just to clarify, when you codify it, you know, it's a law. And you can be cited as out of compliance with that section of the code. If there's evidence and testimony, you know, there will be evidence. I suppose it would have to be observed numerous times if it was like the other kinds of cases that code enforcement takes before the code enforcement board or the special magistrate. So it's a little different than a lot of those other things. Are a lot more tangible than this.
Well, I guess we can also redo the penalty phase as well if we wanted. I mean, or is that set in stone too? I mean, like you said, you don't know where it came from. I mean,
it came that wasn't from one instance. That was from talking to our code enforcement officers and
telling
what the county is. So yes, that is something that certainly we look at and determine if that's exactly the appropriate penalty.
Yes.
I guess two things. One, I know that I think I was out of the county when they did some of the original penalty things, and that really came out of a number of public hearings about at least trying to provide some warnings before,
right.
And trying to build up. So, I mean, I don't think that there was any great acknowledgement that, hey, this is the thing that to do. I think it just came through some discussion. So, but the other thing is, the only reason why I would say that we probably need to codify is the vast majority of the people do comply, and they really don't have a problem with it. It's those few outliers, and a lot of times talking to people doesn't do any good. I mean, again, I'll use the experience that the county had with some of these gated communities. They would just not comply until there was the threat of shutting down their system or fining.
Right.
And I can't recall because it's been a couple of years, so I don't really have the accurate numbers, but my understanding is that water consumption in those communities went down substantially just with the threat of saying, now you're out of compliance if you don't do something.
Right.
And, I think that we would all rather not have it, but...
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all for water conservation. I mean, that's why I brought up the whole thing about the gray water. I mean, I think that there has to be a move in the future to try to conserve our water resource. I mean, I think there's no question that it's going to be a major issue in years to come. There's going to be some solutions that are going to have to be looked at, and they're going to cost a lot of money. And I don't have a problem with this except for the fact that it's somebody else basically telling us that we have to do it.
Right.
That's my main issue.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we change our recommendation to City Council and that we recommend approval of the revised ordinance before us.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
Have a motion for approval of this ordinance.
We have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second. Everybody okay with that motion?
Yeah.
Mr. Kemp.
Mr. Kesslerling?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. Bassel?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, anybody got anything to say? Anything to add? Announcements? Nothing? All right. We're adjourned.
Time to get water off?
Yeah, that's right.
If it's in, I want to Nate, my team, let them full speed ahead with those guys coming out of the river.
Oh, absolutely.
So, naturally, you talk about the water management district officer. And they just don't care.
Yeah,
and they don't listen to you for nothing.
No, why? You know, if you're in Orange County, why can't you use rivers and water sources that are in Orange County?
They've already fucking well, dry.
Yeah, we gotta go.
And now it's gonna be our problem.
Well, now see the thing is,
thank you.
There aren't rivers in Orange County except for St. John's River.
And the lakes are dry.
The lakes are drying up. There's no doubt. Now they do.